Thank you, Brother Hawkins. And again, take your Bibles, turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. We're talking about walking worthy of the Lord. And started on this morning. And a little Bible study on walking worthy of the Lord. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And He says in verse 10 that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, and then all these other things take place. And certainly life, our Christian life, is compared to a walk. And we started on that, talking about that this morning. I want to finish up tonight. Father, I pray You'll bless the preaching. And please speak to our hearts. Help us to use and have our Christian walk be exactly what it ought to be. It ought to be a worthy walk. And Lord, I pray that we would learn from this, and as many did this morning, I pray that You'll challenge us, You'll convict us, and help us to have that kind of a walk that it'll be a blessing, that'll be pleasing to You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning we talked about two things in reference to our walk, and the first thing was our course, and the second thing was our companion. And, of course, life is a walk. Our Christian life is a walk. Mine started at the age of 17 when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I started walking in my life, my Christian walk. And certainly I have walked with the Lord much of that time, much of the time. Some of the time I did not. The time walking with the Lord is always the best. But we all have a walk of some kind, a Christian walk. And it ought to be a worthy, walking worthy of the Lord. So just a few more points tonight in this study, and it is a Bible study. I hope you have your Bibles with you. We'll be turning to quite a few references tonight. But we had number one, our course, number two, our companion, and number three is our conversation. In other words, if you're going to walk with somebody, you have a conversation. You have a, and really when the Bible talks about your walk in your life in reference to your conversation, literally it's your way of life. And what is your conversation? Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, if you'll turn there. And I make reference to this many, many times in talking about walking with the Lord. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. And that is, if you have a super giant print Bible, page 1409. And it's very simple. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That is obviously the best way to walk with someone, is be in agreement with them. And in the Christian walk, we run into Amos 3:3 often, because the whole idea is it's not up to him to change his mind, it's up to you and I to change our mind. Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That's not a cop-out. That's not a verse for you to use. Say, well, I just don't agree with them. That is, okay, you need to be persuaded. You and I need to be persuaded to do it God's way. You and I need to be persuaded to agree with Him. We should not have this idea that we're going to, okay, well, I'm going to try to change what God believes. You're not going to change God. God is perfect. And so it's up to us then to change. And so can two walk together? If you say tonight, well, I don't like this, and I don't agree with this, and I don't want to do this, then you're going to have a real hard time walking with God. And the conversation, because the conversation's not going to work. The conversation is not going to be profitable, because can two walk together except they be agreed? We need to agree. We need to, if we're going to walk together, we need to agree. I would rather walk with somebody that I agree with than with somebody that I don't agree with and argue constantly. That's why a lot of homes are a mess, because there's constant arguments. Amen. A constant battling back and forth because we don't agree and whatever, you know. And I guarantee right now, one spouse is saying, well, that's because they're stupid. The other spouse is saying, well, they're an idiot. And that's why you don't get along, because you don't agree with each other. And by the way, the solution to that is agree with Him. And if you'll agree with Him, you'll agree with each other, because you'll both agree with Him. Amen. It's good stuff. Well, this agreeing. Now, watch this about conversation. And again, in the Bible, when it talks about conversation, it just doesn't mean what we talk about. It means our whole way of life. Look at Galatians 1:13. And we have several verses to look at here, so get your Bibles ready. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says about the Apostle Paul, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." He says, here's how my conversation was before. This was my way of life before. By the way, notice he says, when I was a religious person. Well, he was in the Jews' religion, but he was a religious person. He said, this was my way of life. I persecuted God's church. I went after Christians. I put them in jail. I had them killed. He said, this was my old conversation. Then, Ephesians 2, before you get too tough on the Apostle Paul and start thinking he's pretty bad, look at Ephesians 2 and verse 3. Ephesians 2:3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past," notice, "in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, that's our conversation in the past. That was our way of life in the past. That's what we were before we got saved. And again, these are not good conversations with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, did you see that before Paul was going to walk with God, he had to change his conversation. Before Paul had a relationship with the Lord Jesus and could walk with him, he had to get saved and God had to change everything, just like he did with you and I. Before you are going to walk with God, you need to first get saved. Before you're going to have a Christian walk, you need to first become a Christian. And then you need to start getting rid of these things, of that old conversation. Because I can't walk with God unless I agree with God. It's not a good walk. Notice Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22, it says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." That should be happening as a Christian. That's part of our walk. Part of our walk is putting off those old things. Getting rid of those old things. Now for most of us, and certainly this was true with me, I say most, but not necessarily, but I know it was true with me, that when I got saved, a lot of stuff started happening right after that. I mean, things started happening. Things started changing in my life. I started putting off some of that old conversation. God changed my language immediately. No, not from Spanish to English or something like that. He changed it from being unrighteous to righteous. And thank God for that. But there was some old conversation that had to be put off. There was an old way of life that had to be put off so that I could have that walk with God during this Christian life, which is my Christian walk. And then look at Philippians 1:27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And again, there's our conversation, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And certainly, our way of life is becoming, as we grow in the Lord, as we walk with God, it's more and more about the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Philippians 3, verse 20, and this really is, it just kind of sums everything up here. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Now that's when you're really having a good walk with the Lord. That's when your day after day activities and your walk with God, it doesn't mean that you're perfect, because none of us are, but your conversation, your way of life is that which is of the gospel. It is that which is of heaven. Some folks, when you get to heaven, you're going to feel kind of odd. Others, it's going to be pretty much like day to day, other than the beauty of heaven and not having a sin nature. I mean, seriously, a walk with God, Paul talked about the heavenlies. And I always think about that in my mind. I always see him floating just a little bit above the earth because he had a great walk with God. And much of that is in reference to his conversation. And again, if you're going to walk worthy of the Lord, your conversation needs to be in agreement with Him. Your way of life, my way of life, needs to be in agreement with Him. And what does that mean? Well, let's just go through some things here quickly under Roman numeral 3. First of all, it needs to be by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. It needs to be and must be by faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Back to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. I received Him by faith. God says, now walk by that same faith. If I'm going to have a good walk with the Lord in my Christian walk, and I'm going to have the Lord by my side, and we're going to be walking together and going through this pilgrimage here on this earth, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have to believe Him. I'm going to have to trust Him. When He says, okay, I'm still here, but I want you to go ahead, I'm going to have to go ahead. When He says, okay, you need to stop here, I'm going to have to stop. When He says, okay, look, you're going to have to turn right here, I need to turn right. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but it's up to you and I by faith to take those steps. By faith. By faith. Our walk is a walk by faith. And where there is, you know, by being led by the Lord. See, He knows what's ahead. He knows why I'm supposed to turn right here. He knows why I need to stop here. He knows why I need to turn left here. He knows where the road splits. He knows why I need to take the split that He said. He knows everything about that. You say, but it looks better going to the left than it does going to the right. But He told me to go to the right, then go to the right. Why? By faith. I know, but it looks, but look, walking with Jesus is not about what it looks like. It's all about what He says to do. It's all about His will. And so we must walk by faith. By faith. Then we need to, our conversation must also be in newness of life. Again, you know, by faith. Lord, I trust You. I believe You. I trusted You with my soul. Now I believe You. But it also needs to be, hey, look, I have a new life. Romans 6, verse 4. Romans 6. That old life is always going to pull. That old life is always going to be after us. But notice Romans 6 and verse 4. And I love God's wording and could have used several verses. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're born again. We're born from heaven. It's a new life. Now we need to walk like that. We need to walk in newness of life. Again, I'm trying to help you with your conversation with one who is not going to change. He says, I change not. I'm trying to help you walk with Him because the Bible says that can two walk together except they be agreed. You and I are the ones that have to change. And so one of the great changes is the fact that I am a new person. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My conversation must change. I've got to walk like somebody who's changed. Ask you a question tonight. Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You sit here tonight and say, this is boring. Okay, are you saved? You sit here tonight and you say, well, I don't like all this stuff. Hey, are you saved tonight? Because if you're not saved, and if you have an attitude like that, I have to wonder, are you? Hey, listen. A pig is not a sheep. When you're lost, you're lost. When you're on your way to hell, you're on your way to hell. If God makes you a new creature, you need to be a new creature. Walk like a new creature. Newness of life. It's God made us a new person. My question is, hey, look, if you still love all the old junk, are you really a new person? Because if you're not saved, you'll die and go to hell. As a member of this church. Unbelievable, isn't it? I'm just saying, hey, listen, You say, preacher, I don't like the way this is going. Listen to me. Our conversation, we ought to want to agree with God. We ought to want to be with God. But you say, I'm not interested in those things. I'd rather do my thing and listen to my music and all that. I'm not interested. Are you saved? Are you saved? By faith, in newness of life, in humility. Micah 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Oh, here's a way to walk. We talked about this in my Sunday school class. Micah, back in the Old Testament. Micah 6 and verse 8, page 1428 in your super giant print Bible. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy, and notice, to walk humbly with thy God. Realize who you are and who you are walking with. Humbly. Humility. And realize how you got there. Yeah, I'm talking to folks who want to walk worthy of the Lord. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm on my journey. I'm on my way. Yes, you are on your journey. But are you walking worthy of the Lord? Because my question to you is, do you know who you are walking with, and do you know where you came from and who you were? Because it'll change your whole perspective of everything. Humility. In humility. Amen. By faith, newness of life, in humility, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, in the Spirit. We're so carnal. We're so prone to carnality in the Spirit. It's like Paul, again, when he talks about in the heavenlies, it's like that idea of floating just a little bit above the earth. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because that lust of the flesh is what gets us in trouble. That lust of the flesh, hey, we all have it. The flesh. And that old lust of the flesh, that gets us in trouble. That's a desire. That's those wrong thoughts. And everybody, don't sit here and say, oh, well, you know, I'm immune from that. You're not immune from that. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But God says, walk in the Spirit. Hey, you want a solution for your flesh? Walk in the Spirit. That'll do it. The best way to keep garbage out of the basket is to fill it with good stuff. Amen. Best way to keep garbage out of your mind is to fill it with the right stuff. That's why I started a couple years ago, read through your Bible. Read through your Bible. Get in the Word of God. Get the Word of God in you. And be in church and be faithful to church and Sunday school and learn the book and walk with godly people and spend time with God and get those things in your mind and in your heart. And I'm telling you, if you get full of the Spirit of God, then there won't be room for garbage. That garbage is always trying to get in. And the sad thing is, our flesh likes it. Amen. You know, somebody the other day, I was doing preaching the funeral, and I met some of the family and everything, and Jerry's daughter, Jean, she had heard me in one of the messages. She heard me say that I had used to have hair down on my shoulders and that I used to play drums in a rock group. And she tells her whole family, you know, here we are at the family viewing time, and all the family's there. She goes, hey, guess what? The preacher here used to have long hair. And then naturally everybody laughed. That hurts me. And he used to play drums in a rock group. And you know, it just was real exciting, the response and everything that took place there. But anyway. But But I don't even remember what I was going to say now because I got totally thrown off by that illustration. And then I ought to write things down, really. But you know, it's amazing. It'll come back next week, probably. But I don't even know where I was. But boy, it's a good illustration, isn't it? The thing about that, what was I doing, Steve? Flesh. That was pretty fleshly, wasn't it? I have no idea. But anyway, I'm talking about being in the Spirit. I know what point I'm on. Boy, when you get away from your notes, it gets you in trouble every time. But the best way in the world for you to keep clean, well, that's now I know where I was. I used to have all kinds of wicked, filthy, garbage music in my mind. And guess what? It always pulls at me. All that music's still out there. Did you know that? It's all still out there. Everything I used to play and listen to, it's all still out there. What do you do about that? I when I first got saved, I just started listening to the right music. And I started putting the right music in. And as long as the right music's in, there wasn't any room for the junk. Amen. And I'm telling you, folks, that's going to help you. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And if you're full of the Spirit, there is no room for anything else. That's how we need to walk, in the Spirit. Amen. Fill your life with spiritual things, and then there's not room for those lusts to pull you down. Then we need to walk in His truth. Psalm 86, verse 11. Psalm 86 and verse 11. Psalms 86, 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will walk in thy truth. Be surrounded by the Word of God. Be in it as often as you can. Memorize it. Know the Word of God. And then walk in His truth. It is truth. Amen. We were talking in our men's prayer time about Brother Bowman, I believe it was talking about some Jehovah Witnesses coming to his house. And I'm not going to tell you what he says. He's very subtle. Brother Bowman is such a shy kind of a fella. But the whole idea is, hey, fellas, you need the truth. You need the truth. You don't have the truth. We have the truth. This is it. It's right here. This is the truth. Amen. Now walk in the truth. If you're going to walk worthy of the Lord, you need the truth. Amen. And it is the truth. It is the truth. You know what amazes me is people that like gossip. I mean, you like gossip. It's to me, that's like taking a walk and going to the landfill and walking through there versus walking to one of the parks here in town. Honey, let's go to the landfill and walk around. Wouldn't that be nice? Yes, I understand they just got a new load in. Yeah. Isn't that great? You say, oh, I don't see the point. It's the truth. Listen to me. Truth. Do you want truth or not? All the junk of, well, he said, she said, well, they said. He said, she said, that he said, she said. And she said that he said that she... Turn off your dumb soap operas. That's all that is. That's why you hunger for all that stuff. You know? And look, the truth will set you free. Not the garbage. The truth will set you free. So look, if I'm going to walk walk worthy of the Lord, I'm going to have to be in His Word, memorizing His Word. I'm going to need to fellowship with Christian people who will talk about His Word and not about His people. Amen. And I'll have my devotions, and I'll have devotions with my family, and I'll make sure the Word of God is the main part of the walk, because that's His truth. And then we need to walk in love, Ephesians 5 and verse 2. Ephesians 5, 2. Walk in love, in His love. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love, just like He did. A self-sacrificing kind of a love. Walk in love. God, I'll do anything You want me to do. God, I'll love your people if that's what you want me to do. And I'll love them like you love them. I will sacrifice myself. Walk in love. Walk in wisdom. Colossians 4. Back to Colossians. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. James chapter, the book of James talks about wisdom. Proverbs is all about wisdom. Walk in wisdom. The Bible tells us how to get wisdom, and it's very, very simple. Ask. And if you're walking with Him, it's not hard to do. Could you give me wisdom? I don't have a clue what to do. God, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do on this decision. Please give me your wisdom. You're walking with Him. Wisdom. Wisdom. Boy, we need wisdom today. There is so much junk going on. It's just unbelievable. It is unbelievable what is going on in our world today. We need wisdom. And then, of course, walk worthy of the Lord, as we talked about. 1 Thessalonians 2 is just a verse about that. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. Look, we should not walk in any way that will bring dishonor to Him. There should be no way. And again, as long as He's there, it won't. You know what's amazing? Here's a couple that's dating. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. What's that mean? Brother Hawkins, that was awful deep of you to say that. He says it means what it says. I don't know. I think there's some, and Brother Hawkins is a smart man. He is a theologian in a good sense. He studies his Bible. It just means what it says. So if a guy does that to a woman, if he touches her, okay, then so a dating couple, it's pretty easy kind of to tell them that means you're not supposed to touch each other, right? You know what I tell them all the time? I say, okay, listen, I'll tell you what. You want to go on a date? Great, take me along. Number one, I'll get a meal out of it. To me, that's the best thing. Number two, I promise you nothing's going to go wrong. You're not going to do anything. Because here's the thing. Here's what we'll do. I'll sit in between you. Can you see Poindexter sitting over here? And Priscilla sitting over here. Or let's have Clarence over here and Clarabelle over here. Okay? I mean, and can you imagine? And there's me. And he wants to hold her hand. Can you imagine? You know, he starts to slither his hand over here. I whack upside his head. In Christian love. I'm just saying, look. You want to walk worthy of the Lord and you don't want to bring dishonor to His name, keep Him with you all the time. Be aware of His presence all the time. Don't go places where He doesn't want to be. And I guarantee you will keep yourself out of a lot of trouble. You really will. Amen. Boy, that's good stuff. Our conversation number four is our confidence. Our confidence. And this is so important. I mentioned this morning. Whom then shall I fear? You know, when you walk with the Lord, you're confident. I mean, He's the Lord. In your Christian life, you don't have anything to fear when you're walking with God. Nothing. It reminds me of when I was in fourth grade, and the fifth graders always picked on us. You know, they always picked on the fourth grade. It was bad. I mean, you know, they called us names, told us they were going to beat us up. I'll never forget. I don't even remember how this happened, but probably we paid them. But the sixth graders were on our side. And it was amazing out on the playground when the sixth graders were hanging around us. The fifth graders never did a thing. In fact, you know, we called them names. Why? Because we had the sixth graders with us, and they were bigger than the fifth graders. You know, when you walk with God, you don't have to worry about anything. Our confidence. It's not cockiness. It's confidence. By the way, if I am now in agreement with Him, it's a whole lot easier to be confident. Because I'm agreeing with God. I'm agreeing with the one who wrote it. I'm agreeing with the Creator. When you get it settled that you agree with Him, I'll tell you what, you know, you don't have to worry whether man agrees with you or not. Hey, I agree with God. Well, you don't like it? Take it up with God. You don't like my preaching? Then I'm sorry, you'll have to take that up with God. It's in His Word. Our confidence. Isaiah 35, verse 8. Here's another confident thing that brings confidence. Isaiah 35, verse 8. I'm on the last page, in case you're worrying. Isaiah 35 and verse 8. Somebody just got excited. Revival broke out. Because you can't wait for that business meeting. Isaiah 35, 8. The Bible says, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there." Oh, that's good, isn't it? Only the redeemed can walk there. And I like this. It says that it's the way of holiness. It says the unclean shall not pass over. What's that mean? That means I'm clean. Isn't that good? I love that in Leviticus where it says, if a man be forehead bald, yet is he clean. Amen. I love that. But you know what's exciting about this is we are clean. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We're clean. As saved people, we're clean. The Bible says in Ephesians, we're accepted. We don't have to be ashamed anymore. We're clean. Glory to God. Boy, it's a blessing. And that's our confidence. It's kind of like, you ever go someplace and you forgot to wash? You know? and you look around and you think, man, something stinks. It's me. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you don't want to walk with folks very long like that, do you? You feel kind of stupid. Uh-huh. I'll tell you what a blessing to be clean. Our confidence. Boy, it just builds the more you're with Jesus. Because the more you're with Jesus, the cleaner you get. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, and to cleanse us, and to cleanse us, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the only way it can happen is God doing it. It ain't going to just happen because you turn over a new leaf. It's not going to just happen because you maybe make a few New Year's Eve vows or something like that. No, it's going to happen because He is going to have to do it. And the washing of the water by the Word of God, He's going to clean you up the more you walk with Him. Cleansed and indwelt by Him. 2 Corinthians 6:16, which we've already looked at, but let's look at it again. Indwelt by Him. He dwells within us. The Bible says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people." We're indwelt by Him. We're never alone. He's always there. There's confidence. He's there. You're not alone. I know sometimes you feel like you're alone. I've had some, man, I'll tell you, it's been a couple of weeks. I've just felt like I was alone. But He's always there. And I always go back to, you know, about the time you get to having this little pity party and you're ready to just really have a nice pity party, it's like, God says, wait, whoa, I'm here. I am here. God, forgive me. Forgive me for forgetting that you're there. You're there. We're indwelt by Him. That's confidence, folks. And we're in the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're in the light. It's better to walk in the light, isn't it? Do you know that most of the world walks in darkness? You know, there's folks that get away from the light because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But it's so much better walking in the light. I hate going somewhere where it's dark. I hate going in a place where it's dark. I hate not knowing where I'm going to step, and I hate not knowing what's ahead of me. And I especially hate cobwebs in the dark. Because I always figure where there's a cobweb, there's a big, black, hairy spider with bones. Squishy spiders don't bother me. It's the ones that have bones that bothers me. So I like to walk in the light. Amen? That is the best place. Look at 1 John 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. You say, do spiders have bones? Those real big ones. They seem like they do. First John chapter 1, verse 7. Bible says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. By the way, if you're with Him, walking with Him, you're in the light. Why? Because He's in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Amen? And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's confidence. We're walking in the light. And as we walk in the light as He is in the light, we see as He sees, and we have that fellowship. But you'll notice this, we also have fellowship one with another. Why is that? Because we're all in the light, because He's in the light. Amen? You know the hardest fellowship to have is when somebody's walking in darkness and the other one's walking in light. You don't have a whole lot to talk about. Amen. That's why some folks, you're not comfortable around other folks because they're walking in the light and you're in darkness. You'll say things like, she doesn't like me. That has nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. It's light and darkness. You want to talk about wicked stuff, and maybe she doesn't. But see, if y'all get in the same light, you're walking with Jesus, you'll have a lot in common. And you'll have fellowship one with another. Our confidence. You see, the longer your walk, that's why folks get older, you know, and you say, well, they're really set in their beliefs, aren't they? Yeah, that's because a lot of walking with God. They're not set. They're confident. That's why somebody said, you think you're right. No, I don't. Not at all. I know I'm right. You say, who do you think you are? I'm walking with the one who's perfect. That's not who I think I am. It's just I agree with Him. And He's right. What made you think you're right? Because He's right. I agree with Him. Our confidence. Two things real quick. Number five is our comfort. You said there were four. I forgot. Number five is our comfort, Acts 9, verse 31. Acts 9, verse 31. Talked a little bit about this morning. I'm not going to spend, but it needed to be its own point. Acts 9, verse 31. It says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, notice this, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Amen. The comfort. He is such a comforter. He really is. And, you know, as you walk in life with Him, He provides that wonderful comfort that nobody else can. Our comfort. Number six is our contentment. Our contentment. Psalm 128 and verse 1. Psalm 128. This is my last thing. Psalm 128. And verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Notice that? He's blessed. Content. You say, boy, things aren't so good right yet. But I promise you this. You walk with Him, you'll be content. You'll be very, very glad that you did. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. By the way, that's the best way to eat. Amen. That's the best way. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. That's so good. Hey, you know, America wouldn't like that verse. But that is the best way to eat. Let's go on. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Guess you can't ask for much more than that. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And that's I don't know of anything else you need to have a happy life. Amen. Amen. Our contentment. And you know what? It's gonna end up that way. One more verse and we're done. Revelation 3. Content. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Revelation 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. And I only include that just because of that white raiment. White raiment. That's for those who are washed in the blood of Jesus. One day, there will be a reward. One day, Lord willing, you'll hear, well done. One day we'll receive crowns that we can cast at his feet. Now, I know that doesn't mean anything to you. You know, today it's like, well, you know, if I have a reward, I might want to keep that or anything. Why? No, casting the crowns at his feet is just a way of saying, thank you, God, because I deserve absolutely nothing. Amen. But I sure would like to walk worthy of you. And I trust that you'll think about the verses we looked at today. You'll think about this morning, tonight, and walking worthy with the Lord. Because when you got saved, you began a walk. I challenge those of you, maybe you've never even been saved. You haven't even started that walk to get saved. And start the walk with the Lord and walk worthy of the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.